Good evening, Baltimore, and hello, America. Welcome to the Relationship Experience. This is RE Radio, radio for your life. Ultimately, we want to wake up and have conversations to stir awareness around the best and most positive relationship, the one with yourself. Follow up on this and all WEAA conversations on WEAA.org, or you can hit us at reradioshow.com. Also, the podcasts are available on iTunes, and that's for all WEAA shows as well. Oh, what do we have to announce this week? I don't think it was much going on. There's a lot going on in my head as I just finished the Red Bull Academy. So, you know, forgive me if I slur, go dizzy, just snore on the radio. That's what it is today. But welcome to the show. Thank you for listening for 40 years plus to your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. We have a special guest in studio, my good friend, Naja Wright. Naja Wright Brown. She is the owner, co-owner of the Land of Kush Vegan Restaurant, and being that it is Vegan Restaurant Week.
Yeah, I was about to say, you said there's nothing going on. Let me tell you, so we jumped that thing off on Friday with a happy hour.
Well, you
at
know,
the
it's worlds, it's worlds. We about to get into your world, and I'm sure there's a lot going on in your world. But first, just go ahead and say hello, introduce yourself for those that may not know Naja.
Oh, well, they know, because Land of Kush is a leadership sponsor of WEA. So we during the membership drive, we dropped that big load, that 1G.
A stack. You see how she came in here?
Support the voice of the community. So I spent an hour helping raise funds. So yeah.
I like how she said, I dropped a stack. I've been here with my gold letters on the seat. But that is not why we have you in studio today. We have you in studio.
You can still donate, right? WEAA.org.
Yes, definitely. We have you in here for a myriad of reasons. One, I just want to get to the origin of the Vegan Soul Fest because every year I try to get to that thing, but I always have tiny, tiny, tiny kids. So this is the first year I can actually go. My wife and I can get a break and we can go.
You could have brought them. Yeah, no. You know, we have Enseroma Academy. They take care of the kiddies over there.
Yeah, we just wasn't trying to go 6 deep. That's all it is. Not trying to go 6 deep with three under the age of 3.
You laid out a blanket and had like a picnic out there.
It's always the people without 6 to tell you all that kind of stuff.
I only got one, right?
Right. It'd be like, you could do this. You could do that. And we're like, nah. But why don't you tell us a little bit of how the Land of Kush came to be, you know, your origin story. And then I'd love, because you told me a fascinating story about how quickly you put together the first Vegan Soul Fest, and it's sort of taken off from there. And I think, you know, that's what the show aims to do, be inspirational in tone and theme, because you're from Baltimore?
No, I'm not. I'm actually from New York. I was born in Lower East Side Manhattan and raised in the Bronx, the South Bronx.
Oh.
I could walk over the bridge to Manhattan, Harlem. So
That's
a part of the Bronx I was born in, the South Bronx, the South Bronx.
Right.
KRS.
KRS, right. Boogie Down Productions. Don't get me started.
Introduce
you see, I'm going
old
school.
Introduce the veganism through the hip hop.
Right.
No beef.
Well, how long have you been in Baltimore?
I was 2005. What is this, 12 years?
12 years?
Yeah.
So you put the New York hustle on us. So how did the Land of Kush come to be then?
Well, you know, that's Greg's brainchild. This was Greg's idea of owning a vegan restaurant in Baltimore. I had no plans of getting into the restaurant business whatsoever. I've never been in food service, not even in high school as a part-time job. So I had no idea I would be in food service. But this was Greg's dream. And I kind of came into the picture as he was developing or building his funds to reinvest. So he had started vending at Jazzy Summer Nights, and he can tell that story so eloquently and detailed about how that started. But I got into the point where he was just building his funds to get ready for the next level of the Land of Kush.
Right.
Okay. And I used to market and promote in New York. I have my own entertainment company. Now there's comedy. So I got to see the likes of like the Kevin Harts and the Mike Epps and the Tony Rocks and all of them rise up.
Oh, wow.
So I was big with the club promoting and all of that. So I said, I don't know anything about restaurants, but I think if you're passionate about anything and you know how to sell and promote, you can do it for anything. So I said, I can help you with this. And we just went out there. The festivals, I said, you know, if you're trying to get to the people, you need to make food that the people recognize. So your standard stuff, collard greens, yams, mm-hmm. baked mac and cheese, yeah, yeah. you know, vegan drumming, you know, just something that we recognize and that we can say, oh, you know, I'm familiar with that, because we think vegan and we think it's a scary word.
Right.
Vegetables are vegan. You know that when you don't put the meat in it. So I had these signs out at the festival, like, don't eat red meat, you know, it's bad for you. And then we had the vegan ribs for people to taste, and mm-hmm. people were tasting this food. This was at the African American Heritage Festival. They were tasting the greens, they were tasting the yams, and we sold out 3 days in a row. This was at AFRAM.
And this
when
was
they were calling
so,
it AFRAM.
So you were always vegan. So even when you skirt back to the day, Jazzy Summer Night, you came out and you guys came out vegan then?
He was selling vegan food then.
Wow.
I wasn't vegan until 2000, and I didn't start the journey to veganism until 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing my research in 2005 because my cholesterol was high, so I was playing around with, you know, the skim milk. They tell you got to cut out cholesterol, so eat the egg white, do the skim milk, go to 2% milk. So I was playing around trying to figure out how to get my cholesterol down.
Mm-hmm.
So a year later, when I met Greg, we both work for Verizon Wireless. We were on the same management team. I had just got a promotion to be a supervisor, and he came in as a supervisor. We landed on the same management team, and that's when I saw him bringing these exotic dishes to work, and you know, that was my next level of education in what's vegan, what's vegetarian, because I didn't know what any of that was.
So was that part of his game? Was he cooking nice meals, cracking the top, and walking the long way around the cubicle, like going by the office, blowing... What, did he tell you that, or
man,
was it
I didn't
it
even
just...
know what P.F. Chang's was until I met him. He would bring, like, the tofu, little tofu cubes with the brown rice and all of that. So, yeah.
So that was part
He's
of that.
He's definitely a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. But
it didn't bother me. You know, he wasn't bothering me. So, you know, it just gradually grew into something. So it was real chill. You know, we both were in our own relationships. I was still with someone in Jersey. He was still, you know, and then it just kind of evolved.
See, he started feeding your soul through feeding your stomach. And see, they say that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. But we have proof here today that it's also a way to a woman's heart. And I know
I love
I
a man that
thing.
Cooks. Yeah. That's special.
So on to, like, so Vegan Soul Fest, you, if I remember correctly, when we had sort of an off-the-line conversation, you were saying that came together in, like, 3 months' time?
Yeah.
Something insane. But now that I get a little bit of your production,
so
you were always promoting, so you had, like, the confidence
you
to do
it. Yeah, you have an idea. Like, what's the venue? What are you trying to do? And who are you trying to promote to? Like, is it that's pretty much it. And then get out there and promote. A lot of times you go to these events and nobody's there. It's because the promotion wasn't done. Nobody wants to
right.
do the legwork. That's the hardest part, is promoting. You got to sell. You got to sell the concept. You got to sell the business. You got to sell the idea to bring the people out. You know, and it doesn't have to cost a lot, because we didn't spend a lot of money the first year promoting mm-hmm. Vegan Soul Fest. We just got some flyers. You know what I'm saying? We got a little, you know, funds to get a radio ad on you know, another station. And
Ooh.
Yeah, then we just, you know, just went with it.
But why do it? So you at this point, because I know once I came back to the city, as soon as Atlanta Kush opened, everybody was talking about it. It was like popular place number one. Why do a Vegan Soul Festival? Was it, you know, well, let me just answer you, not make a leading question. Why do the Soul Fest?
Well, I've been to a lot of vegan fests, veg fests. That's what they were calling them, veg fests. Mm. They still call them that today, veg fests. And, you know, and I don't mind. I'm not into semantics, veg fests, whatever. But my partner, Brenda Sanders, in the Vegan Soul Fest, we happened to be having a meeting at the restaurant. She was, you know, trying to do some type of conference. And, you know, the conference idea kind of, you know, not sure what happened or why I couldn't go. We just got into this casual conversation about, you know, and speaking of festivals, you know, every time I go to a festival, blah, 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 this and that, you know what? We need this type of festival that kind of represents our people and the things we like to do. I like music. I need to, you know, hear my music. And, you know, we can get, you know, the speakers, the type of speakers that our folks can relate to. We can do the cooking demos. And, okay, let's stop talking about it. Let's just be about it.
Right.
So once we decided that. It was kind of like, let's get the ball rolling. What did I say? Get the venue. Let's see what date we're going to do. I think the first date was, it was October, like October 25th. So we're talking about the start of the fourth quarter or something like that. So we did an October 25th date. The Downtown Cultural Arts Center was so gracious in letting us, you know, set up there. We thought this would be a little shindig. We get about 50, 60 vendors put inside the building, you know, boom. We got 80 vendors, you know. And then by the time it was over with, we had like 90-some-odd vendors, and we had to petition the city to allow us to put the vendors around the entire block. So you're talking about Howard. Couldn't go to Mulberry. Mulberry has a little, you know, sidewalk, but around the entire building. And we just made that thing a party, and it was just so crazy out there that the Baltimore Sun had to stop. Somebody called them down there to find out what's going on, and they just coined it the new food festival in Baltimore.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so fast forwarding to now, this year, where have you grown to this year? Where is the public going to find you?
Baltimore City Community College, which we're kind of outgrowing at this time.
Wow.
But we're going to do it again there this year. We're expecting between 7,000 and 10,000 attendees. They've been gracious to allow us to do it there. They were reluctant at first because they don't do this type of thing on their campus. And I kind of sold them the idea like, hey, you know, you can probably recruit some people that want to go to college from the community. Let's, you know, this is different. You know, we'd like to partner with a college campus. This would be great for the community, smack dead in the 7th District, not too far from Mondawmin Mall. I mean, just, you know, envision all of that. And, you know, they bought into it, and they've won us back every year.
Wow. And so, but if you're outgrowing it, well, let's not talk about where you might go. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Relationship Experience on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Today, we're joined by Naja Wright Brown, co-owner of the Land of Kush. For questions, comments, or just to show some love, because I know you eat there, because I see y'all standing in line Sunday. You keep me from my vegan pancakes. You can call in at 410-319-8888, and Naja will take your questions and comments. And Naja, what's the most outlandish thing that you've had a customer say, like maybe they were just getting into veganism, or maybe they wanted to try it? What's one of the weirdest experiences you had there at the counter with someone over vegan food?
At the counter, I mean, they usually just want to know what the best thing is to buy, like what's good on the menu. And I usually ask them, what do you like to eat? Are you a heavy eater? Are you a light eater? You know, are you transitioning from being a meat eater? Because usually if you're transitioning from a meat eater, I'd say try the ribs, try the mac, try the collards. If you're light, definitely the kale salad, the chicken salad, pasta salad may sound heavy, but it's not as heavy as you think it is, because you don't have that heavy mayonnaise with the eggs in it. It's more of eggs, right? Or the lentil burgers. You know, the lentil burgers.
Those are my favorites.
The mushroom gravy. I like those with the rice and the collard greens. Yeah.
And do you have like a testimonial? So I know with me doing yoga, I thought it was going to be sexy people, sexy things, having fun in the sun, doing beach retreats, and it was actually very much like a hospital. Like a lot of times people come up to me, I have high blood pressure, I have heart disease, they like have these significant things, and you know, we would address it through the holistic practice of yoga. So do you find that you get sort of medicinal requests, or are people often, and do you have a testimonial? Did somebody like lose 80 pounds and get rid of their diabetes?
Yeah. And I have a story, and Greg has a story about his family member, but I actually took a video testimonial of a woman that had been coming there that said that she was, one, losing weight, and also that, you know, her diabetes or something like that was getting better. So I said, can you give that to us on camera? So, you know, I caught her on camera, and then I shared it on our Facebook page. And I said, you know, for those of you that keep questioning whether the food is healthy, like, you know, you're hearing it from her, and I feel good. I feel great. We got a 5-year-old that she likes the drummies, the mac and cheese, collard greens, and yams. Like, those are her favorite.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to a caller in a second, but I was with a friend last night, and she was telling me a story. She works with kids, and you know, sort of, she does this one exercise. She has these lights to prove that humans have voltage to their bodies, and she makes the kids hold hands, and they hold the light at the end, and once they all join circles, this light lights up. It has a little dim light.
Energy.
But what she said is that she works with some vegan students, and the first time she went to work with them, she laid the lights on the floor, and they just lit up. And
wow.
So she thought it was broken. She took it away. And then, you know, she went and put another one. She rested on the floor, and they lit up again. So the power of the health and currency running through their body.
Yes.
So it's really interesting testimony. But let's go to a caller. We have Diane from Baltimore on the line with a question or comment for Naja.
A comment. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I just want to tell her I was at the first one on Howard Street. That was fantastic. I mean, it was so many people. People was like stopping their cars. They was moving, going down Mulberry Street. And they didn't know what was going on, so they would start parking around on Park Avenue and walking back around. It was so lovely. I've been going ever since. I'm in the transition of being a vegan. I had been a vegetarian all my adult life. So when it came to my health, they diagnosed me with prediabetes and high blood pressure, and I never had that in my life. So I started eating. I said, what can I do? And I started reading Dr. Neil Bernard's work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was like, oh, yes, this is it. But, excuse me, sometimes I get bored, so I hope you have something this Saturday to help me to go to the next level, you know, because sometimes I get bored about the food to eat and everything. I said, I got to do it for my health. I don't know about nobody else, but I have to do it for my health.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, and I know Naja's going to make a comment on that. But, yeah, you can't get bored at the Land of Kush. Go ahead, Naja. I know you were going to say something.
I love the Land of Kush. I love the lentil burgers. That's my number one thing, and the candy ends. And I think it's the spinach or kale salad. It's one of those.
Mm-hmm, that live kale.
Yes, I love that.
I get bored with the Land of Kush. That's why you see me out everywhere just posting all over the place, different restaurants. I like different varieties of food. Before I became vegan, I was acceptance of global foods. Like people used to laugh at me at work sometimes because they'd see me with Japanese food, Taiwanese food, you know. I like different type of foods and flavors. So I know what you mean when you say you're bored with stuff. A lot of times, if I'm cooking in the kitchen, I'll Google a vegan recipe. One day I wanted some shepherd's pie. I hadn't had shepherd's pie in a long time, so I Googled vegan shepherd's pie, and then I made a shepherd pie. You know, if you're are you a cook? You like to cook?
I love to cook.
Google's the best thing that ever's come out. Now, there's also an African American vegan starter guide that has come out, African American Vegan Starter Guide.com. There's some recipes in there that you can play around with. But I say the Google is like the big, like, you, it's just infinite depending on what you're trying to do. Like, I'd like to make some cauliflower buffalo wings, you know?
Question about the, is it chickpeas?
Yes.
I saw a recipe.
Protein. That's where you get your protein.
Lentils.
For that burger, have you all tried that yet at the Land of Kush?
No, we haven't tried the chickpea recipe for our burgers. That Greg usually, I can make suggestions in terms of, okay, we should have the okra or potato salad on the menu or whatever, but that's he's creative in that area. And then when you're looking at the restaurant, we definitely want to keep cost to a certain level so things don't get expensive, because a lot of times we hear that eating vegan is expensive, and we kind of want to dispel that myth, because it doesn't have to be expensive. But when you get into some of the ingredients that go into food, it can be. You don't want it complex.
But I think, the expense is worth your body and your health. If you want to live longer, I think you're going to spend a little bit more on your food to make you better.
Sure. Preventative care. But we're going to use this segue y'all were talking about, Greg. Chef Brown is on the line now. Diane, thank you for your comment and conversing with Naja. Please continue to listen.
Okay, then I'll see her Saturday.
Yes, please.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'll be on stage.
let's see if we can get Greg in on the conversation. Greg, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I know you're down there making it all happen for some hungry people, so thanks for joining us and calling in.
No problem. Thank you.
Yes, I don't know if you heard the show so far. We've been talking about all the food. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the restaurant. I was just a part of the fellowship for Red Bull this week, and I was harassing him every day. I was like, you got to go to Land of Kush. You got to go to Land of Kush. So finally, they got us some food from Land of Kush. So I would be down there more if I had so many babies to eat. But we want to talk about, too, we're starting to talk about food options and everything. And y'all have a vendor that that sells some cookies out of there, those daggone Cameron Treats. Camille's Cameron's Treats cookies, those things, and they're better than regular chocolate chip cookies. How do you go about creating new nuanced foods, or do you take, Greg, you can answer this maybe, do you take recommendations like the caller just called in? She's like, oh, you know, I want lentils. How do you guys work with the menu? Who decides what goes on?
Generally, I decide what goes on the menu, but I take suggestions from everybody. Like, I listen to what everybody says. I look at recipes. I visit restaurants in and out of state whenever I do get a chance to travel. And I listen to what people say and what they want, and then, you know, try to see what works, what we can do, what we can't do, because we have a very diverse menu and we offer a lot of options.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, we don't want to overload things on the menu where you just got so many options, because what happens is that vegans come in and they see the menu, and because vegans are so used to going places and you have one or two options at best, you know, they get to the restaurant and they're like, oh my gosh, there's so many options to choose from. So you get that. So you kind of like don't want to overexpose people, but then we also do specials. So, you know, sometimes somebody may suggest something, we may experiment with something and do it as a special for a season, or we may do it once a week or something like that. So that's how we try to integrate different things. Like, we got some new stuff that's getting ready to come, so we'll be doing some little taste testings here and there, you know, as Nadja has urged me to do. So we have some taste testings that'll be going on that we'll be setting up once Soul Fest is over with. But yeah, well, I mean, we're a restaurant for the people. So obviously we want to have the food that the people want, and we want to hear from everybody what they want, what they like, and see how we can accommodate that.
Well, I have an idea for you both since you're here. I would like to request Vegan Santa. And what Vegan Santa does is go around to his area favorite yoga studios, and he leaves a gift box around Christmas time with about 7 different vegan meals in it. And I won't charge for that great idea, but Vegan Santa would be a great idea.
Oh, okay. I got you. Let's see if we can make that happen.
So Greg, why veganism? So I get asked that question all the time, as if, you know, I guess I'm sort of unique being African-American and a yoga teacher. You got into the game before it was really popular, I guess. So, I mean, I know we had Queen Afua on here, and she was saying in the 70s people were doing veganism, et cetera, but it definitely wasn't mainstream. Why veganism? Why'd you make that choice?
I mean, it was for health reasons for me. I mean, I was always kind of into bodybuilding, lifting weights, things like that. But then, you know, I just found, like, even with that, you may not necessarily be healthy with the diet piece of it.
Right.
And when I went to Morgan, my first year was that early KRS, was that my first year at Morgan. That's when, you know, that second album came out, you know, By Any Means Necessary. And then, you know, that's when, you know, that whole black consciousness was coming around, and KRS was talking about the no meat, no chicken, no turkey, no hamburger, because to me that's suicide, self-murder.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole thing, you know, affected me. And so, you know, I started to change my diet. I had read Malcolm X's autobiography around the same time, and I started to cut out pork, and then I cut out beef. And so it was a transition, but I just didn't know what veganism was. I didn't know what being a vegetarian was or any of that, because I didn't know anybody. You know, I grew up in a typical African-American household that, you know, wasn't a part of the conversation. So, I just ended up just continuously doing research. And I was going through a spiritual change at the same time. I started meditating, practicing yoga. I found an old yoga book from the 50s in my mother's basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I started just practicing, you know, hatha yoga, started breathing, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, that was just part of the veganism was part of the journey. And then as I was doing those things, I ended up at a bookstore. I ended up at Borders up in Towson when it was there. And I found this book with 500 recipes. And when I found that book, I took it home and I was like, boom, I'm vegan today. And so I took it home, cleaned out my refrigerator, threw everything in the trash, the tub of butter, the eggs, the milk, the fish I had in the freezer. I just threw everything in the trash. And I was like, okay, done deal. Like, this is my lifestyle from now on. And that's kind of how I got kicked into it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting that you gave that testimony, looking at the power of music and consciousness that came through the music for you. And I always say that that's why hip-hop evolved into rap, because commercial people wanted to, they used it, dominant culture used that to keep, you know, keep propagating a negative message. Because you're right, we had Black Eyed Peas, we had X-Clan, you know, Poor Righteous Teachers, all of these folks that were enlightening us, and now trap music, and we wonder why there's a sharp raise on Molly and you know, death, murder, etc. But we're going to go to break real quick. When we come back, we want to talk, which I'm sure, hopefully callers are calling for this, what does it take to be a couple in business together and in running a restaurant? So when we get back from the break, we'll continue our conversation with the owners of the Land of Kush Vegan Restaurant, Naja Wright Brown, Gregory Brown, on 88.9, The Voice of the Community. Welcome back to the Relationship Experience. I'm your host, Changa Bell, and that beat was crazy.
Yeah, we ended off talking about, you know, the whole rap trap and whatever's whack right now. But
yeah,
I wanted to just chime in before we went to the break and just say that this Friday we have a meetup eat up with a eco hip hop artist. So if y'all not, you know, in tune with that or know what that means, we have an eco hip hop artist coming in from Denver named DJ Kavum. So djkavum.com if you want to know more.
How you spelling
about him.
Kavum?
CAVEM.com. He is a organic gardener. He used to be a gangster. He is doing a lot of things in his community around urban gardening and this whole eco hip hop movement. And, you know, there's other artists like think of Stick from Dead Prez, who's also doing that. So, you know, there is a movement, you know, the traction. We're trying to get it there by promoting the positivity. So, you know, it is coming back. We just got to embrace it and promote it. So come down to the Land of Kush Friday from 6 to 8 and, you know, get a feel for that vibe, that eco hip hop.
Yeah, it's true. I know Farmer Nell, Dominic
Nell. Yeah, that's our peeps.
Shout
out CD Weeds.
I mean, he makes that thing look real rugged, rough and raw. And so does Walker from the Flower Factory. You know, these are two brothers from Baltimore, and just as, you know, as cool as they could ever be, and they're putting that shine on consciousness. So I love that. I love that you said that.
And if no one knows, the 10th element of hip-hop is health and wellness. So we signed the declaration last year, April 22nd. So there's 9 elements. Well, now it's 10, with health and wellness being the 10th element.
Oh,
that's official.
So that's interesting. So I need to get in on that.
Yeah.
What? Just because now I'm curious. What is an eco hip hop artist? Before we get into this couple couples working together, what's an eco hip hop artist? Is anybody you do have?
You talking about eco environmental issues, veganism, organic gardening, urban farming, things like that. So you're speaking about that. Like, you know, there's a song in there where he talks about Monsanto and that whole what's going on with that, and you know, roots, beans, and greens, eating all that. As a matter of fact, he works with a lot of youth. There's a song, Brown Rice and Broccoli, you know, so.
Instead of sardines and pork and beans.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, you know, music soothes the soul, you know, elevates us, you know, messages, there's strong messages in the music.
It makes sense because this is an orifice, you know, anything that you ingest in your body, even if it's audio, it's still something that your body's got to process. It makes perfect sense to have vegan music. You know, I switched to a lot more instrumental and jazz and everything now because I can't listen to, you know, when that beat drops, I might nod my head for a second, but now I listen to the words and I can't. So it makes perfect sense. Now, we're going to just jump to what everyone really wants to know. What is it like? Because, you know, people ask me all the time, what is it like? Now, so I've been together 11 years, married 10, working together every minute of it. So, you know, what's it like working together as a married couple?
Well, we've been working together forever, ever. Not like Greg really describe what that means, but forever, ever.
It's really the foundation of our relationship, kind of like because we met at work.
Right.
And we were on the same management team. And so we always, we worked projects together. And that was just from the beginning. We worked projects together. And even when we were just dating, I mean, Nadja was in school to get her master's degree. And I was like halfway working on the business plan for the land of Kush. I mean, I went to Verizon to recoup my money to open the restaurant. But, you know, like sometimes you visualize something and it's, you know, it's a difference between the visualization and the reality of it. So
right.
I wasn't really there yet. But because Nadja was working on, you know, her school stuff, I needed something to work on too. So, you know, I started working on the business plan. But we were always in that shared space together where we would be working on our individual projects or working on projects together. So that kind of like has always been throughout our relationship. We've always just worked together. And then when the Land of Kush really got started, when we opened the actual restaurant, even before, like when we were working, when we were doing the festivals, you know, Nadja jumped right in and, you know, was at the front taking names and getting the email addresses before the restaurant opened so we could, you know, get things started. And so that's kind of been how we've evolved.
We worked the 2 to 11.
The 2 to 2.
2 to 11. 2 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Right.
I love those hours. Sometimes I kid around with Greg and I say I miss those hours. The 2 to 11. So you come in at it. We come in like 11:30, quarter 12, you know, get a little wine on, you know, get nice. And then, you know, just deep conversation and, you know, deeper conversation. And then, you know, then you sleep and then you're up. Get up a little, like sometimes we got it real early, right? We used to go and do our little sauna stuff, go swimming, go work out, go swimming, and sit in the hot tub, steam room, all of that before we get back into our 2 to 11 shift. So that really was a strong foundation built with us because we did all of that together.
Mm-hmm. Is it
5 days a week?
Is it confusing, like when you started out for staff? Like, is it like, oh, well, we have, you know, husband and wife team, did they try to play you like mom and dad, like try to get one thing from another? Like, can I have days off? And can I,
the schedule stuff goes to him. Now, our daughter does that, but
right.
I don't get involved with that. I bring him in and I tell him in the interview, like, once you go by me and you're in, you're, you know, under his command, I don't.
So have specific roles in, like, so you're like front of house, he's back of house.
Well, we do, but it still merges because.
He's territorial.
It's not you know, you can't put everything in a box. Like, everybody can't work in a box.
Right.
And so everything meshes together. So where, you know, I might be running certain things in a restaurant, but at the same time, if the staff feels like, oh, well, you know, Greg's not responding the way we want to respond, you know, we're gonna go see Nadja. But it's not like a play off of one or the other. It's like, okay, you know, we need certain things. And then Nadja is a voice that comes to me and says, hey, you know, the staff is saying they need X, Y, and Z, you know.
He doesn't like when I do that.
No, but it's good, though.
She comes to advocate for the staff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got to play HR.
Because, you know, you got to, you know, you have to have, it has to be a balance in the relationship. And then the same thing, like, there's certain things that Nada does that, you know, the staff may come to me and say, oh, we don't know, we need X, Y, and Z in terms of marketing. And so, like, you know, hey, the staff needs this, this, and this, so I got to come to her and say, you know, what they need. So it's, you know, it's on both sides where we feed off of each other. And that's that energy of yin and yang. Like, we always describe our relationship as yin and yang because where one is strong, the other one learns from that and becomes stronger, and vice versa.
Yeah, we learn from each other.
Yeah.
It's a perfect, you know, it's a perfect team because, like you said, we got strengths and weaknesses where they complement each other, and we kind of know when to back down and let somebody else lead, depending on if it's a business meeting or whatever the situation, or even if it's this radio show, who's going to lead, who's going to back down, and, you know, and it works well. We kind of already know. It's natural.
Very teamwork and synergistic. I have a call we're going to take on the line, but when, depending on his question, do you want to ask how you turn off? Like, because if you're working together, when do you turn it off? But let's go to the phone line.
Greg, he'll say, I've never turned it off.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Well, that's how I am. We'll turn it to the phones to Daryl from Towson. You're on with Greg and Naja Brown, Naja Wright Brown, owners of the Land of Kush on the Relationship Experience. You have a question or a comment?
I have a quick question. First of all, good evening to all.
What's up, Daryl?
Yes.
Okay, she said, Naja said, what's up, Daryl?
Okay, what's up? I'm sorry.
That's all
right. Okay, my question to you is, where are you located and everything? Because this is my first time hearing about your establishment.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay.
New customer.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's from Towson, so there you go. So, yeah, you're
going to
love it.
840 North Utah Street, close to MLK Boulevard. Landofkush.com is the website. 840 okay, North Utah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And my second question is, and everything, because I'm just tuning in, apparently you guys were talking about the Vegan Fest.
Yeah.
This weekend? Or
yes, it's this weekend, Saturday, August 26th from 12 to 7, vegansoulfest.com at Baltimore City Community College. That's 2901 Liberty Heights Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you don't eat the day before and go have a ball. So I think we lost Daryl, but Daryl, make sure you don't eat the day before. Go have a ball. There's a lot of great options. And, you know, being vegan is very, very healthy for the body. On average, I think vegans live 7 years longer than the average age. And so, you know.
Balanced diet. You can't eat French fries every day.
Exactly.
At least you shouldn't. You've got to balance it out. Get some greens in there.
Right. Lots of greens.
Green leafy.
So, to that question, because I have another caller coming in. So before we take that caller, to that question, Greg, so how do you turn off? So even if Naja was saying 2 to 11 p.m., but you have a pressing issue, it's like, oh, you didn't get something done for the Vegan Soul Fest the next day, whatever. Like, do you guys say, no, we cut off, no more talking about business at 11:30, or do you find that you, like, open the wine and sip a little more and keep talking till 2, 3 a.m. till it's resolved? How does that work?
I mean, I have to cut off. Well, it's difficult because, you know, because of the nature of the business, it's, you know, number one, you know, it's, you know, it starts early in the morning and it ends late in the day. But, you know, there's a cutoff time. I think our daughter probably dictates the cutoff time as much as anything, you know, because she requires her attention and, you know, she wants that attention from me. And she wants that attention from Naja. And so those are cutoff times, you know, like, oh, you know, she it might be time to get ready for bed. So, you know, that might be a cutoff time.
Or play chess or a board game or
or whatever it is. Like, she may dictate that. Or it may be breaks in a day. It's not like a set time, like, okay, after 9, we're not going to do any more business. Because, you know, it's not like that. It might just be a period of time in a day where we might say, okay, let's go to lunch somewhere, let's go out somewhere, and go sit down and eat, and, you know, and chill out for a little while, and, you know, and we do that. So we take, like, periods in the day and say, okay, you know, this is when, you know, we got some downtime. Or, you know, I might turn on Dave Chappelle or something like that, because I know she likes comedy, so So, like, I might turn on something that she likes. Or I might just say, like, we did this the other night, like, when D.L. Hughley was in town. Like, I told her, like, okay, my mother's picking up Pia from school, and we're going to go, we're going somewhere. So I blindfolded her.
Oh, what? Look at that. You took on a blindfold date? You get me in trouble now here, Greg. Hold on. You know, Devon is looking at me on the left. I'm squirming in my seat. Go ahead, finish the story, brother.
Nah, so I blindfolded her and took her to the D.L. Hughley show. Like, yeah, I know she likes comedy, and something different just to take her mind. Like, she couldn't look at her phone. She couldn't, you know what I'm saying? She didn't know where we were going. And when, even when we got there, she didn't know where we were until we actually got in the hotel. So, you know, it's just little things like that that you have to do to, like, you know, slash it and take a break from it, you know, to find something else to, you know, refresh. Recharge your, you know, shut it down for a little while, then you bring it back up. You
gotta Atlantic Kush wasn't even in our thoughts until D.L. Hughley asked, what does he do for a living? And then, you know, that was like the multi-million dollar moment when he shouted it all out.
Right, he started
Land of Kush.
Well, you know, you two laugh like you got one baby, though, so that's all I'm going to say. if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Relationship Experience. I'm your host, Changa Bell, and we are talking with the owners of the Land of Kush, Naja and Greg Brown. We have a caller on the line from Baltimore. Tony, you have a question or a comment?
It's a comment. I just want to say I enjoy the food. Been there, had the ribs, collards, and mac and cheese. Great place. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. We appreciate that.
I'm starting the vegan thing, too, so it's definitely very flavorful.
How long have you been vegan, Tony?
Since January.
What's the hardest thing for you to give up? What do you walk by and your knees buckle? Is it bacon? Like, what is the big thing?
No, it's cheese.
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 Good old American cheese or mozzarella cheese. What kind of cheese?
Any type. But now you got me wanting
Now that was my weakness too, Tony. It was my weakness too. And then when you start learning, you know, you got to think of that cheese as a liquid concentrated meat, and then you'll change. Exactly. You know, just like with the eggs, that's a chicken's period. So you know.
Wow.
Start getting that in your mind. You'll get it away.
But your mac cheese, those ribs. I can't wait to try the curry chicken salad. That's my next thing that I'm going to try at your restaurant. So it's just great food. Thank you so much. Okay?
All right. Thanks for the comment.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Wow. That was so visual. I was trying not to gag on the air. You know, lucky for me, lucky now, I developed the egg allergy, so I don't have to worry about the Menzies of a chicken. But thank you for the colorful language. So what would you know, and this is great. I really appreciate you all opening up, you know, because this is community radio, and a relationship experience is really about inspiring people. So you inspire us on several levels, you know, because you are community contributors and culture contributors, because I have been watching, you know, behind the scenes before we ever knew one another's names. I would see you strolling in with your yoga mats in the middle of the afternoon. I'm trying to get a combo. And this is before we even knew each other, but I knew you all were the owners. And so it's nice. So it's not just about, you know, we're going to say Vegan Soul Fest over and over again, but it's nice to have some connection behind the story. I think for folks to see that. So what would you say to a young couple? You know, there's Jay-Z and Beyonce. Everybody's looking at these quote unquote power couples. But really, I think that more important people are the people that are in the community, like you and Greg. What do you say to a young couple first looking to get married and they want to intertwine business with, you know, romance, et cetera? What's like a one fail-safe thing you would tell them?
You got to make sure you have all your cards on the table, because what I find out a lot is people, you know, they think they know who they're dealing with, but they really don't know until after they're married. And then at that point, they're trying to speak about separating or divorce. So you got to really know who you're dealing with. I'm, you know, if it takes 2 years, 3 years, you know, that's what it takes. But you got to know who you're dealing with. It can't be this, I like this person, and then I want them to change, and I want them to change like this. It doesn't work like that, because you can't change anybody. They have to want to change. Mm-hmm. So yeah. If you go in that with that mentality, you're already going to lose. When I first met Greg, I said something about seafood, like, well, I don't know if my baby get rid of my seafood. Is that going to be a problem with you? Right. I'm like that. And then that's putting your cards on the table. Right. I'm not going to be a phony, you know, but then I evolved to this. And he said, you know, I don't think I'm gonna have a problem with that.
Right.
You know, same with kids. Don't go in there and then the person doesn't want kids, because that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
You know, you should know that in the beginning. That shouldn't be something you're figuring out when you get married.
Mm-hmm. Greg,
yeah, I would say that you know, the big thing is you be open in your communication with each other. I think sometimes people are scared to argue or hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. It's not really about that, but it's just about having open communication and, you know, having conversation and being realistic about what you're doing. And like we spoke to earlier, or Nadja was speaking to earlier, is knowing who leads when. And it's not about a male or female thing, like the man always leads. It's not that thing. It's just knowing when somebody, you know, is the better person to be the leader in that situation. So, there are situations when Nadja is the greatest leader. She's the one that needs to lead a certain situation. And there are times when I'm supposed to lead a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you identify that and you can feed off of that, you begin to build each other up, you know, and that's what makes the relationship strong, but then makes the business strong.
Right.
Because, you know, and don't be a yes person
right.
to your mate. You know what I'm saying? Like, the one of the things that I really, really appreciate about Nadja is the fact that she is not a yes person. She's not like, oh, you're the greatest, dear. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to tell me when I'm wrong, and that's, you need that just in a relationship. But if you're in a business together, you need somebody who can check you and tell you, like, hey, you know, that's not right, you know, or I think we should go in another direction. And, you know, you have to be open to that. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times men struggle with that because of an ego and, you know, a societal thing. But at the same time, like, you got to respect that. You need someone in your life who can really, you know, bring out the best in you by pointing out, you know, negative things, criticisms. And, mm-hmm. and you know, you got to look at yourself. You know, I look back at that Dame Dash interview he did on, I always look at that interview, but that Dame Dash interview on The Breakfast Club. And he was saying, like, you know, I don't hang around a bunch of dudes. I need, you know, I hang around, you know, I got a woman that you need a woman in your life. And that's powerful, man. Like, mm-hmm. you need somebody in your life who can be the opposite of you and tell you when you're not right and when you need to make adjustments, and then you have to be open to that feedback. So that's what I would say to young couples out there.
I hear a vegan cook and relationship book coming out next, along with that vegan Santa. We have Soraya from Baltimore on the line. Soraya, you have a question or comment?
I'm not a vegan.
Okay.
But I'm interested. I've lost like maybe 40 pounds over a 6-year period.
Congratulations.
Wow. Because I don't eat bread, pasta, drink a lot of sugars and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Listening to you guys, I've been craving a hamburger.
Mm. Okay.
But I don't touch the rib. I'm just looking at the industry and all of that with the meat products and all that. I don't want none of that mess in my.
I'm with you 100%.
Well, and thank you for calling in for you have a question?
Hello?
Yeah, you have a question? I was getting ready to let you go, but is there more that you wanted to say before we take the answer or the rest of the comment off the air?
Yeah, I just want to find out where you are, and I want to I want to taste one of them burgers that you have.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
840 North Utah Street, landofkush.com. Come down and get a lentil burger.
And I will. And I'm telling you, yes, indeed. Thank you so very much.
All right, Soraya.
All right. Peace.
All right, and we have Marcus on the line after Sarai. Let's go straight to Marcus. You have a question or comment for the owners of the land of Cush?
Yes, greetings. I have a quick comment, and I'm enjoying the show, and thank you so much, Tanga, and, you know, for your guests there for the land of Cush.
Yeah, absolutely.
We certainly appreciate, you know, the contribution to the city. Well needed, much needed.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to, you know, I've been a vegetarian for, you know, I don't even count anymore. It's over 25 years, somewhere between 25 and 30 years. So, you know, I'm way ahead of the curve. Was lucky enough to meet black men back then, you know, who were... who I was studying with, and we studied, we were reading a lot and studying historical issues, and these guys were also vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I learned quite a bit at that time and made the commitment at that time. But, you know, people ask me all the time, well, how did you become a vegetarian? You know, and I always tell them, say, well, you know, hey, do you have an hour for me to tell you all the reasons why? I mean, I have, like, you know, many, many reasons, which is why I've been able to sustain it for so many years, you know, mm-hmm. most of my adult life, you know. So, and one of the reasons I think I rarely hear people mention are the political reasons behind it. Now, you know, people have been watching Netflix, and they've been seeing What the Health and all this, and I've been hearing commentary about that, and people are, this is like new knowledge to many people, but, you know, to us, this is things we read in books, you know, before the internet.
Right.
So, you know, we were well studied with this matter, and we're still learning, of course, and it's a huge topic, but, you know, the political ramifications, you know, for a black man in particular, and for, you know, for many of us, you know, and in addition to the health issues and the other things, you know, what I'm really getting at is that we understand that the killing, the industrialized killing of pigs and cows and chickens for profit related to the killing of black men for profit and the jailing of black men for profit. Okay, so we see these things as fingers on the same hand because these are Fortune 500 companies. This is, these are, you know, large corporations who profit from the killing of animals and who profit from our deaths as well on the streets and in other places, our slow deaths in jails. So this has to do with the political ramifications in terms of a lifestyle rather than a boycott or a temporary thing. We have a lifestyle based upon not supporting of the killing and has kind of a, you know, Rastafarian, you know, it's kind of linked into that as well, you know. So these are, this, I just wanted to put that out there for your, you know, for the benefit of your audience, just to think of it this way too, because I think this is attractive to many of us, particularly men, you know, because it's something we can grab onto easily and feel that it belongs to us, this kind of ideology, this idea behind veganism, behind vegetarianism, where we do not support the killing of any of this. And we support, we're more on the life and the liberty side of the game rather than the death and all of the byproducts of the industrialized killing. So I'll just leave the comment right there.
Yeah.
And I thank you all so much, and I appreciate the show. And you guys continue your great works, and we'll be here to support you every step of the way, of course.
Appreciate it, Marcus.
Well, that definitely has an effect on women as well, because a lot of our young black women are developing the fibroids and having to get the hysterectomy. And on a global scale, it does impact global hunger, because all the food that we're feeding the animals to fatten them up is food that we can be feeding people that are starving across the world, which are majority are melanated people, right? So it does affect, you know, like you said, men, it also affects women and children.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And, you know, we've had Queen Afua, Dr. Valentine on the show. We all are familiar with Dr. Sabi's work, or rest in peace recently, Dick Gregory.
Yes.
I think it is. Food is very much a political statement. We were just talking about Dominic Nell, and his food sovereignty is a big push in the mission of his. So I think it's a very cogent point. So thanks for calling in, Marcus, to talk about that. So we have like maybe a final 60 seconds or so. And I wanted to get into, Greg, what's your role in the Vegan Soul Fest? I know Najwa was giving the origin story about her and her partner. But what kind of like, what's your role in the bigger festivals that you guys put on?
My role is whatever Najwa needs me to do.
Right.
Whatever Najwa and Brenda need me to do is like what I do. So, you know, I mean, you know, once we set up and start serving food from the land of Cushes, you know, if I got to try to fix some generators, if I got to go run and get trash cans or whatever the case is, I'm whatever they need me to be. You know, I'm a servant to obviously my wife, but, you know, in the Vegan Soul Fest capacity, I'm a servant to Brenda too. So, like, I'm just out there to work with them.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted, excuse me, that's why I wanted to put it out there, because this show is like that. You know, Devonna produces this. People always ask me, can I get on the show? I'm like, I don't know. You had to ask her.
So, right, like this, exactly.
You know, their divisions and sort of guidelines. And so that's what I was hoping to put out there. So this is like your baby, and he comes in on that in the sport role, vice versa. So what, you know, one last time, the address to the restaurant, the address to the Vegan Soul Fest, and then a quick highlight about Vegan Week.
Yeah, yeah. So we're still in the middle of the Baltimore Vegan Restaurant Week. It ends Saturday, August 26th. So if you're not coming to the Vegan Soul Fest, definitely patronize a restaurant that's participating. MDVeganEats.com, MDVeganEats.com, VeganSoulFest.com, LandOfKush.com. Come down to the Land of Kush, 840 North Utah Street this Friday, 6 to 8. Meet up, eat up with DJ Kavum.
Yeah, I want to thank our hero and our shiro, our local culture and community experts, Greg and Naja Brown.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, owners of the Land of Kush. Please continue to support and think about your holistic health in terms of what you put in your body, both auditory and through the physical, what you eat. I want to thank co-executive producer Devonna Bell, producer Iyori Odigizuwa, engineer Andre Melton, and production assistant Wama Jones. We can be here next week if you tune in, if you call in and continue to support. That's what we like to do. But I want you to stay tuned for Jazz Straight Ahead with my main men, twins Jan and Eric Tiegler, continuing to inspire us all with the family knowledge and tradition of jazz. Coming up next on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.